Gentlemen, welcome again to the No Cash, No Code podcast. Wow, thick and fast, game week 15. Thank God it's over. I'm joined again by the person who is leading the charge on the podcast and on the league still, the historian himself, Mr. Tom Maxwell. Tom, how are you?
We're back again.
Madness. I mean, this has to be the best streak we've ever had, I think.
When do we start getting sponsorship deals and stuff like that? Because I feel like I have more time podcasting than I have working this week.
I think we have to get into double figures, like instead of listener, like into plural listeners, and then we can maybe market it. But yeah, it does feel like we've put in a bit of a shift. I'm not going to lie, I think you put in more work than I have. You're always wonderfully up to date on the stats. And listener, I have this wonderful life at the moment where, especially in midweek games, I wake up in the morning and there is a teaser of analysis that has been sent by WhatsApp. Never the complete story. I still got to check the scores and see what's happened, but enough to make me excited. Really ruining my sleep pattern, if I'm honest, but I'm thankful for the info and it's probably helping my team a little bit, if I'm fair. So it was only yesterday, but remind us, what havoc happened in the Premier League this week?
Goodness me, was there some havoc. So games were split over 3 days, obviously finishing last night. And I'd say that comfortably the game of the game week was the Luton-Arsenal game, which I suspect you would have enjoyed. I'm not sure if you stayed up until God knows what time in the morning to watch it, but...
I made the mistake. I checked my phone as the first goal went in, stayed up till halftime, tried to go back to sleep. That's 5 a.m. for me, listener. And then my phone was buzzing because I forgot to put it back on. So I knew there was stuff going on. So yeah, I watched all except I passed out in the 89th minute. So I woke up in the morning to a really pleasant surprise. I say woken up by the kids, about half an hour sleep in. That was a struggle, but a worthwhile struggle. And sorry while I stay on this one because I can't back to it afterwards. For those in the pod who know Douglas Ferguson, he made the mistake of doing the full-on likely lads. He does that quite often. We've done it a few times together. He happened to get on the bus in the morning. I never get a bus, but I happened to get a bus that Thursday morning. And I opened with, what a game, right? apologies, Douglas Ferguson. Anyways, sorry, back to you.
Very funny. No, that was cracker. And then I think of the other games, the themes were basically teams keeping clean sheets that no one had any defenders. And those teams that did keep clean sheets where people did have defenders, they didn't play. So Wolves beat Burnley 1-0. Huang with the goal. Imagine we'll touch on him later. Brighton beat Brentford. Nguemo's injured. That's certainly going to be, I think, probably something for a lot of people to think about going into tomorrow. Bournemouth continued their very good run of form. They certainly are starting to look like a proper team. Fulham 5-0 against Forest. Don't think anyone could have seen Fulham score 5 goals in a game. Liverpool didn't score as many as they maybe were expecting to against Sheffield United. It'll be interesting to see if Wilder, the new manager, can get them defending a bit better. Villa absolutely bossed City, and City were probably flattered by the 1-0. And Manchester United absolutely bossed Chelsea, and Chelsea were probably flattered by 2-1. And then Everton thumped Newcastle, and West Ham did what they needed to do against Spurs, which I imagine was probably your second favourite game of the weekend.
No. Favorite. No question. No question, because, again, the time zone, right? So I went to sleep at 1-0. Woke up with a really, really pleasant surprise everywhere they go. It was a heck of a week. One of those ones where transfers and everything caused no end of problem. I mean, where do we start on this week on the breakdown?
Well, do you want to start with pick of the week? How about that? There was some... I think, because there were a lot of people that scored lots of points that aren't owned by very many.
Exactly that. So I cheat. I don't do as much homework as you do. I use algorithms analysis and stuff to help me go through. And there's a lovely, helpful page on the start of the FPL. Some of the runners and riders, there is a Sensi who plays for Bournemouth. I mean, I swear I watch football and every week I'm learning a new name here. There is a Sensi, he's a defender, don't need to look it up. Obviously, Andreas Pereira, who is a phenomenal footballer, who I really would love to see in a team not called Fulham. Awobi, the ghost of, is a big scorer with 14 points. Dwight FPL McNeil. He is a legend around FPL quarters, even though no one I know has ever owned him at any period of time that's mattered. Gross, who is an absolute waste of points year in, year out. I mean, you always know he's going to be a top three scorer for Brighton. You also know he'll never be in your squad. There is a Raul Jimenez, the ex-Wolves striker with 13 points himself. Meaningless. Absolutely meaningless points. So then let's get to the ones that actually matter. I have a chance of trouble in the scorers. Trent Alexander-Arnold, still going strong. 12 points. Trees falling inwards. No cash, no code. Has no interest in TAA. They're showing him their butt, as it were. So that left us with a very small selection of players that got points and were notable. Well done, George Johnson, for actually starting Jesus for a change. Nicely done, 11 points. We have three Sanchez owners. There's enough hurt to go around, but I'm not worried about spoiling this. Two sat on the bench. That's Eli and Ade. Classic Ade maneuver. If you haven't listened to it, but listener, my favorite all-time episode, Goalkeeper Woes, go find it. But yeah, so we've got only Tom Everett, which I haven't, a name I haven't said very much this season, with Sanchez. So that leaves us with, only two. The two highest scoring players that actually passed the threshold. This is rare. The two highest scoring players, there's 15 for Andreas, sorry. The next two highest scoring players, Sensi, Virgil van Dijk, Iwobi, McTominay. Two of those are owned. We have Virgil van Dijk and we have McTominay that are being owned in the league. Now, listener, this is embarrassing because every now and then I feel like some people get too much airtime looking at you, Colin Nash. Somehow we've fallen into a world where Hugo Gordon-Lennox, who's not been in No Cash, No Code for the longest period of time, is getting... I mean, the last pod was all about him. Great feedback. Thank you, Hugo. And then there's pod's very own Tom Maxwell. Those are the two owners. We have Virgil van Dijk for Hugo with 14 points. We have Scott McTominay, 14 points, Tom Maxwell. How am I going to split this hair? Both got the exact same score. Well, it's easy, obviously. We love a differential around here, so we'll go on ownership. 2.7% owned. Scott McTominay is 2.7% owned. Ladies and gentlemen, our league leader is fielding a midfielder that is only in 2.7% of the teams. This just in. VVD is also only in 2.7 teams. How Liverpool's captain is only in 2.7, the exact same percentage of teams, is beyond me. So therefore, I can't give that as a tiebreaker. I thought, well, let's go down to your next player. Your next highest scorer in the week is Hui Chan over at Wolves, 10 points, but there's a few people that own him. Actually, the second most transferred in player this week in No Cash, No Code. Shout out to the boys. Well done, everyone, on your analysis on a tap-in merchant with one shot in the entire game. I'm not bitter. So that's your next best move. Hugo's next best move, he captained Saka. That's the winning captain, effectively, this week, because everyone else has gone with a Salah or with a Haaland, obviously. So only Hugo and Cavi, so less than the Hui owners overall. So still a bit to the side. Did one of you get lucky? If I told you, listener, there is a £4.9 million midfielder in the game who has four goals in their last six games, you would clamber for that person. That man is Scott McTominay. If you include European Scotland games, he is four goals in six. If anything, Maxwell's been unlucky in the grand scheme of things there. But then you look at Virgil and you have to question yourself. Hugo, I apologize for my slander on you last week. How is that the only person to own him in the league this year? In a year where no defenders are getting points, Hugo brought him in game week 9. He's blanked three times since then. He has just been a points machine. We're all messing around with Shimax. What's his name? Shimakasses, who barely ever show up. We're all playing cash hokey cokey. I've even seen James being brought back out, the ghost of. And meanwhile, Liverpool's captain, arguably the second best centre back in the league right now on form, is just plugging away with points there. So, I mean, there's nothing to decide between the two of you. So I'm not going to. I'm going to move on. Team of the week. Now, this let's get these up, shall we? It's a weird week because I want to say it's low scoring because the world average is only 30 odd. But if you get doubled, you get doubled, right? Like across our league, the lowest scoring team is in the early 20s. and the highest scoring team is in the 40s. So it was a high scoring week for those that did incredibly well. So let's go through this. Who's in the 40s club? Going from the bottom, because there's only a few of them. So you've got Will Brocks being favorably mentioned here. Somehow he managed to get to 41 points. There's no one really that stands out apart from the fact he's got your boy Hee Chan and he's got Kanate, which isn't seen by many teams. All the rest is pretty standard. Sada is captain. You've got Damien, Mr. Consistency, second place overall right now, 41 points. Somehow with a defense that scored 1-1-1, but he also got the Liverpool keeper in, you know, zagging one of the zigs with the Newcastle backup. Then you've got Andy Fisk, had to read from there, just so I could say Andy's name in a positive manner, to be honest. He's got some beatings recently. He's got a Leno in goal. That's controversial nowadays. He had a Palmer in the team at the right time. He's got Palmer and Gordon. You'll see a lot of that coming up soon. And then we've got getting towards the 45s now. I was going to say Pod's very own, but it's probably getting a bit harsh to say. So Pod founder, not Pod father, Jeff Brown with 45 points there with a Pedro Porro slightly fortunate score and a Jared Bowen. Then we get Tom Everett, 47 points there with the aforementioned Sanchez. And now we're down to the top two scorers in the week. Team of the week, if we go just on points scored, we've got a 48 and a 49, listener. A Hugo and a Tom Maxwell. Obviously, in a week where there aren't that many points, and obviously in a week where you've both got a 14-point scorer, obviously, you're at the top of the scoring charts. And listener probably worked this out a while ago since I've still got the mic and that's how we tend to do things around these parts. So Tom Maxwell with 49 points. Hugo Gordon-Lennox with 48 points. Two very different, very solid squads. Hugo, just to read it out one more time, because it's like a throwback and it's different and it's normal at the same time. There's a Mitoma. Of course there is. I remember that guy. There's an Odegaard. Of course there is. There's still a Douglas Luiz. I feel really bad that there seems to be no Tielemans, who actually did pretty well this week. So I probably owe you one for that there. There's been a hokey cokey with Man City defenders that he then didn't play anyway with Ake on the bench. It's just wonderful. There's unbelievable scenes going on with Hugo's team. 48 points. Then you've got Tom Maxwell with 49. I'm going to keep talking for a little bit, listener, because I'm going to make him blush. Let's talk about Tom Maxwell, 49. Top of our league. Impressively, 5,635 in the world out of 10 million. That makes him 9 million further ahead than me right now. It's embarrassing to be sharing a microphone with him. He's number one in all of his leagues. Don't worry, I've checked. We're still the best league overall. He is the 337th Chelsea fan. I can't imagine how irritating the other 336 must be. He is absolutely storming it right now. So with the most points, the best period I think I've seen of him, and squashing some spurious rumours that he is a one-week Green Arrow merchant with some serious consistency now. Team of the week, and I'll finally let you speak, Tom Maxwell. What a week.
Thank you, Andre. That's probably my favourite 5 minutes of No Cash, No Code pod history, I think. It was very fun. McTominay, he's been in my team for a little while, has missed some pretty good chances in the league whilst, as you say, scoring goals for fun in the Champions League and for Scotland. More than a little bit bittersweet that it happens to be against Chelsea. My brother was at Old Trafford watching it. It was always going to be the way. But sort of been really happy to keep him at 4.8 million. He's just gone up in price for the first time this season. But 4.8 million, although United obviously are not a good side, he's been playing as a sort of auxiliary striker all season, taking lots of shots, gets lots of headers. I don't think anyone's quite sure what Scott McTominay is. Nope. If you're a Scotland fan, you love him. If you're a United fan, you're probably a bit frustrated by him at times. But as a differential, you know, low ownership midfielder, he's been very useful, particularly given that I have nothing on my bench. So was thrilled with that. As you said, Pedro Porro sort of nabbed a couple of bonus points against the run of play last night, which just nudged me up above Hugo. But pretty fun that Hugo and I only own two players the same, which is Trippier and Haaland, and every single one of the rest of our team is different, and that's more of a reflection of Hugo's differentials than it is of mine, I think. But quite a fun couple of teams.
Really is. And you've made some great decisions. Like, I feel like I'm interviewing manager of the month again here, but what really impressed me about Scott McTominay, when I actually WhatsApped you McTominay, when I realized that he'd scored and got the similar WhatsApp from Stephen Allen with slightly more rude words, Stephen Hill, sorry. Shout out Stephen Allen, head of credit BlackRock. Candidates on the mind. When I got the message and sent across to you, I didn't even realize you'd started him. This is glorious work, listener. Game week 14, you picked Lascelles over Scott McTominay. Game week 15, you switched it round. That's the kind of thing that, if you're going to win no cash, no code, is the big difference maker. That is a 20-point swing versus, 18-point swing versus if you'd gone the other way round. So that's absolutely cracking stuff. A very worthy winner of the team of the week. And obviously that means you're discounted from pick of the week. So congratulations, Hugo, on winning pick of the week. It was a long setup for a very obvious finish. I'm sure Tom knew himself that's where it was going to go. On your guy, McTominay, I mentioned two pods ago, the dirty feeling that was Arsenal conceding to, who is it? Brentford, I think it is, when I've got Wolves, when I've got Ben White and everyone else has some kind of combination of Zinchenko, Saliba, Gabriel, or all of them, and feeling bad that my team had scored, but low-key not as bad as I should do because it had helped my fantasy side. How does a Chelsea fan feel when Scott's scoring the second one?
So I think same for both goals. I was at a nursery parents' drinks party that evening. It was the first of four nights out in a row, and I can't tell you how little I wanted to be there. My brother messaging me photos of him from Old Trafford before kickoff. And I like many people, I use the Live Score app for live goal updates. And what it does is it gives you, so it buzzes when the goal goes in and tells you what the score is. And then about 20 seconds later, it buzzes again and tells you who the scorer is.
Oh, that's awful.
It works perfectly in this particular instance because it's like, okay, Manchester United have scored against Chelsea. I know that's happened. It's really disappointing. The only thing that can make this even a little bit better is if Scott McTominay's name now comes up on my screen.
Oh, I see.
What are the chances of that happening? Anyway, it happens for the first one. I had a wry smile on my face. By the time it happened for the second one, I was practically doing laps at the pub. all a bit over the top, but it's quite a fun way of following your fantasy football players. Obviously, the disappointment when, I don't know, Brentford score and it's not Mbeumo who scores almost every goal that they have. But with Scott, that was it was quite a neat moment.
That's fantastic. I've got one that I remember vividly that was one of the real what am I doing with my life moments. And it's me jumping up and down the sofa because James Beattie has scored for Sunderland and my now wife asking me, like, as I calm down, like, don't you support Arsenal? It was a year where I was up against Stephen Hill, and that was a real difference maker at the back end of the season. And like, I'd actually got my allegiances completely wrong. To be fair, we weren't an exactly important club at that period of time. Anyway, enough indulging on us. This pod's not supposed to be about as much as it has been recently. You need to really change your form to keep the listener interested, quite frankly. Let's talk about things that didn't go quite so well, which will definitely not include you now. A lot of hurt to go around.
A lot of hurt. And obviously, I suppose hurt is quite, is often based on the amount of points that are being scored in a game week as to sort of how you, the barometer with which you sort of judge hurt. But I've got a few quite good little snippets. So Freddie, who, as we talked about, on last week's pod, been in great form. He ended up playing with nine men this week, thanks to Areola's injury, meaning he had no starting goalkeeper, and with both Baldock and Bayer not playing, who are his two Sheffield United Burnley defenders, Shimakas's benching, meaning he only had two defenders. So he did actually have some playing bench players, but they weren't defenders. So I thought that was quite good, albeit he still managed to get 37 points, his eighth green arrow in 9 weeks. Very much the player in No Cash, No Code. You've already touched on this, but I couldn't help but laugh when Tielemans scored. I went straight to Hugo's team to see whether he'd put him on the pitch or subbed him, and it turns out he'd sold him. and sold him for Gordon, who didn't score for the first time in three games. So he got he lost some points there, but another very strong week for Hugo, who broke into the top 100K for the first time this season.
And Hugo, keep listening for more top tips.
Totally. Dylan, I suppose we've just got to keep a watching brief on the curse of the pod. We know that it's worked pretty well this season. I'm delighted that I haven't had to do a manager of the month yet, because that tends to seem to start form dropping off. Dylan transferred out James Ward-Prowse this week for Raheem Sterling. Minus six for him on that transfer. But again, still got 35 points, which is fine, albeit he did lose third spot in the league to Hugo. And then the top two, and I'll let you pick between them, Mike Brown, whose form has waned a little bit after his very fast start. He was 32 points in total with 14 on his bench. With Palmer's 8 and Powell's 6. Now, fair enough, you wouldn't necessarily have expected Villa to keep a clean sheet against Manchester City. Palmer, you know, in the form that he's in, difficult man to leave out, but basically his two top point scoring players in his squad were both sat on his bench. 14 points on the bench out of 32 in total. That's got to hurt. Yep. And then I think my favourite, though, has to be Nick Mick, who, first of all, had the lowest point score of the week, 24 points in total. Will be a disappointing week for him. But he that 24 points was made even worse by the fact that he left James Ward-Prowse on his bench, who scored last night. And he played four at the back, which is the reason why James Ward-Prowse didn't play. Shimikas obviously didn't play, so he needed someone to come off his bench, but he put James Ward-Prowse second on the bench. In first, he had Hoyland at Manchester United, meaning that his highest pointed player was left languishing on the pine. So it's Nick's 24-point total with 8 on the bench, or Mike's 32-point total with 14 on the bench. What do you reckon?
I'm going to go Mike, because while you were doing that, I just realised I've been meaning to talk about Mike and his bench for a little while, and it keeps like not being quite enough. But let me give you the story of Palmer. You know, I said sometimes price bias. He's missed Palmer's 8 this week. Game week 14, Palmer 1-pointer on his bench. That's fine. Game week 13, he starts Palmer, 2 points. Game week 12, Palmer 6 points on his bench. Game week 11, Palmer 12 points on his bench. At this point, just sell the guy. He's causing you more trouble than it's worth.
You don't like him.
Exactly. Because I was like, how has Morgan White got in ahead of Palmer and his team? And it turns out it's anybody. He's got a Jensen ahead of him some weeks. He's got a Bell ahead of him some weeks. He really has a disliking of Palmer. So on that basis, I think he's been trying to get our attention for some time. So I would like to give it to Mike for extreme services towards keeping points on his bench. It's fantastic work. Whereas Nick got hurt last week as well, by the way.
He's on a run of 6 red arrows out of 7.
Mike Brown. Wow.
10 plus bench points in 5 of the last 6 weeks.
I mean, I think we talked about this literally with him first, game week 8, when he was absolutely flying, overall rank 20,000 in the world. And we were talking about how complicated it must be having so much value and having such a diverse team. Yeah, he's got some couple of decisions wrong there. Can he stop the slide? Sorry about that, Mike. But yeah, at least you got some airtime. That's obviously half the reason being no cash, no code. Mate, it is 10 o'clock on a Friday night, and I've got some serious tinkering to do with my team. So let's keep this one short and sharp. I look forward to seeing your Mbueno decisions imminently.
Yeah, needs a bit of thought this evening, but looking forward to catching up after hopefully another good week. And let's see whether we can keep this form going.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.